Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
Attitude. We make a difference with our love. We make a difference with how we treat people, how we talk to people. Because if we talk to people in the wrong way, guess what's going to happen? We're going to repel them away from Christ, and it's going to come back to us, and it's going to hurt us, and we're going to be like, why are you talking to me like that? It's because you sowed that seed of negativity to other people. So God wants us to make a difference, but we make a difference through our attitude. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, what is your attitude? Is your attitude an attitude of gratitude? Are you thankful that God has given you an opportunity at life, the opportunity to live, the opportunity to move, breathe, have your being in Him? Are you thankful for that opportunity? Or are you just saying, okay, well, I got this opportunity and I'm going to be real mean to people? You can sit down. You can sit down. You can sit down. I'll have you stand back up in a little bit. But God wants us to make a difference. He wants us to make a difference, and He wants us to work together to make a difference, because one is too small of a number to achieve greatness. Yes. One is too small of a number to achieve greatness. So when we are all on one accord and we make a difference as a family, as one, then we can really transform the world. We can really transform the world, but when we have an attitude, when we can't talk to people, when we mean to people, when we can't smile at people, when we eye people down, give them the evil eye, then we really miss the mark. Hallelujah. All right, so we are in our series called Church Rules. Everybody say Church Rules. And if you miss Wednesday night, you missed a treat, because we actually went overtime, but it was really good Wednesday night. So be here this Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Be here this Wednesday night. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. And once you get there, if you would, jump to your feet. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. And we'll be reading from the translation. We'll be reading from the Passion Translation. The translation, that's what we're reading from this. Whatever translation you got, that's what we're reading from this morning. So if you got MC, KJV, TPT, MSG, NIV, ESV, YLT, NOG, NASB, and all the other Bs, then we'll read from that translation this morning. So once you get there, if you would, jump to your feet. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to read this, and you can follow along with me in your version. And this is what it says. Then Jesus addressed both the crowds and his disciples and said, "The religious scholars and the Pharisees sit on Moses' throne as the authorized interpreters of the law. So listen and follow what they teach, but don't do what they do. For they tell you one thing and do another. They tie on your backs an oppressive burden of religious obligations and insist that you carry it, but will never lift a finger to help ease your load. Everything they do is done for show and to be noticed by others. They want to be seen as holy, so they wear oversized prayer boxes on their arms and foreheads with scriptures inside, and wear extra long tassels on their outer garments. They crave the seats of highest honor at banquets and in their meeting places, and they love to be admired by men with their titles of respect, aspiring to be recognized in public and have others call them reverend." I want to use for a topic this morning, "Thou shalt not be a Pharisee." Amen. Thou shalt not be a Pharisee. Let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. I thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people. I pray that, Lord God, that this word goes forth and transforms lives. We thank you that people will learn, Lord God. People will become better. People will know greater and know you even more. So, God, I pray that you move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allow Holy Spirit to speak through me expressly to your people. So I say, God, I am a vessel for your people. So I love you, I thank you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thou shalt not be a Pharisee. A Pharisee. So what is a Pharisee? A Pharisee is this. The Pharisees formed the largest and most influential religious political party in New Testament times. They are consistently depicted in the Gospels as antagonists or opponents of Jesus Christ and the early Christians. The name Pharisee actually means separated one. The Pharisees separated themselves from society to study and teach the law, but they also separated themselves from the common people because they considered them religiously unclean. See, there is a modern day Pharisee spirit that roams in churches today. We like to separate ourselves from people because we consider them unclean. Amen. They don't believe what I believe, so you unclean. They don't look how I look, so you unclean. They don't smell how I smell, so you unclean. And so there is a Pharisee spirit going around today in churches, and really that is actually going around in religion, because religion is more focused on works other than the sacrifice that Jesus made. See, the Pharisees are more focused on works. They're more focused on the law. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to fulfill the prophets. And when Jesus came, he was full of grace and he was full of truth. And so the Pharisees were always antagonistic against the kingdom of God. See, they couldn't be used to be made a difference because they were always antagonistic until the kingdom of God. Scripture even says that that they did not enter the kingdom of God, so they didn't allow others to enter the kingdom of God because they wanted others to live by the law. Now, a lot of people in church, they want a lot of people to live by law. Well, you can't do this. You can't do that. And we demonize. See, in church, we have demonized things. And we made the enemy more popular than he really should be. Amen. We've made the devil more popular than God because we so focused on the devil in this and the devil in that and the devil in this and the devil in that. But when Jesus came, Jesus was with everybody. He was with the tax collectors. He was with the publicans. He called Zacchaeus out of the tree. And the Pharisees were like, why are you hanging with him? And we're gonna do a message called "Thou Shalt Not Demonize Secular Places," because we need to understand that when we go into these secular places, we are to be the difference. Yes. We are to be the difference. We are to be the light. And when we are the light, then we can draw people to Christ. And so, modern day Pharisees are this. This is what a modern day Pharisee is. They are spiritually deep, but morally bankrupt. Modern day Pharisees are spiritually deep, but morally bankrupt. It says this in Matthew chapter 23, verses 2 through 4. Matthew chapter 23, verses 2 through 4. It says this. It says, the religious scholars and the Pharisees sit on Moses' throne as the authorized interpreters of the law. So listen and follow what they teach, but don't do what they do. For they tell you one thing and do another. They tie on your backs an oppressive burden of religious obligations and insist that you carry it, but will never lift a finger to help ease your load. See, there are a lot of people in church today that know a lot, but they don't grow a lot. They know the word. They can show you the word. They know the scripture like the back of their hand. They know the scripture like the front of their hand. But they hadn't allowed the scripture to really penetrate their heart in order for them to grow from the scripture. Amen. And so what has happened is we've filled up with knowledge on the scripture. And we filled up with knowledge on the scripture, but we have not allowed the scripture to fill us up and to allow our hearts to be turned to God. So we know a lot, but we don't grow a lot because growth is not automatic. Growth is not automatic. Just because you read the Word of God, that doesn't mean it's automatic. It's just, whoop, I read it, it's automatic. Because you can read. See, people read the Bible unconsciously. And so they read unconsciously, and what happens is they read unconsciously, and then when something happens, they try to use that scripture, and guess what happens? They end up using that scripture out of context. But the scripture needs to be used in context. You know how people say the love of money is they say money is the root of all evil, right? That's what people say, right? The scripture says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, not money is the root of all evil. And so now we have these different doctrines going out, these different interpretations going out, and people are being confused by the word. And that's why most people believe that in order for you to come to church, you got to be perfect. But that's not the purpose of church. The purpose of church is for you to come and grow and to become a better person. That's the purpose of church. It's not for you to become perfect before you come to church, because if you become perfect before you come to church, what's the purpose of coming to church? What's the purpose of having a relationship with God if you consider yourself already perfect? Now, the scripture says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect, as I am perfect. But that perfection is not our definition of perfection. That perfection is not I got to get my work straight perfection. That perfection is a spirit perfection, because our spirit is perfect. Our spirit is made in the image and the likeness of God. Just like I tell you all the time, you can't improve upon what God has already created. So you can't improve upon your spirit, because God has already created your spirit in the image and the likeness of him. And so modern day Pharisees, they will mess you up. Modern day Pharisees will mess you up because they'll be so spiritually deep that they'll be morally bankrupt. So I'm so spiritually deep that I can't love you. I can't smile at you. I can't have a good conversation with you. I can't say nice things to you. I always got something negative to say. I always got to tear you down instead of building you up. But when I am spiritually deep and I am morally bankrupt, then I'm really missing the mark of what God wants to happen in my life. So say this with me. I will be spiritually deep and morally wealthy. Yeah, I thought I was about to say bankrupt. I just said bankrupt. Oh, no, we're not going to say that one. See, we often see the enemy knows. Listen to this. The enemy knows the word, but is he applying what he knows? So the same goes for you. You know the word, but are you applying what you read? Are you applying what you read? See, you can know the word of God, but not apply it to your life, and you will be stuck in the same position. You can know the word of God and not apply it to life, and you'll be stuck in the same position. You'll be wondering why you in that same mindset, why you still got that same stank attitude, why you still saying negative stuff about people, why you still thinking negative stuff about people, why you feel this way about people, why when somebody does something that makes your blood boil. See, you can read the word, but not allow the word to fill you up, and then you'll be missing the mark yourself. And so God doesn't want us to miss the mark when it comes to the word of God. So we have to not only hear the word, listen to me, we have to not only hear the word and read the word, we have to be doers of the word. Amen. We have to be doers of the word. Turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 22 through 25. Mr. Willie, is that mirror still back there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could you get it for me? James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Is everyone there? And this is what it says. It says this. It says, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. See, a lot of us have deceived ourselves because we just listen to the word and not allow the word to really feel and penetrate our heart. And so since we just listened to the word and not allowed it to penetrate and fill our heart, then we have deceived ourselves. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. So God's word, so poetry, when you think of poetry, what do you think of? Beauty, right? You think of something that sounds really good, something that sounds really great. You read it and you're like, man, that's really good. That's really great. So it says this. It says, so always let this word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. When you are fulfilled, when something is fulfilled in your life, that means that it comes true in your life. That means that it comes to fruition in your life. Verse 23 says this, if you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply in the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessings in all that they do. So what is the scripture saying? The scripture is saying when you read the word of God and you don't apply the word of God, it's like looking in the mirror and saying, oh man, I look good. This 30-year-old pastor looks amazing. This 30-year-old man married to Pilar Partee Bell looks beautiful. And then going and being like, I forgot what I look like. Have you ever looked in the mirror and forgot what you look like? Has anybody ever looked in the mirror and forgot? Yeah, it's easy to do. But that's what reading the word of God is. When you read the word of God and you don't apply it to your life, it's like looking in the mirror, okay, man, this looks good. The word of God is truth. The word of God is good to you. The Bible is good for you. The scripture is good for you. But when you turn away from it and you don't do the word, it's like looking in the mirror and forgetting what you look like after you looked in the mirror. So you have deceived yourself. So it's important that you become a doer of the word. See, modern day Pharisees like to put religious obligations on you. Modern day Pharisees like to put religious obligations on you. So modern day Pharisees make you feel like you got to do A, B, C, D, E, F, Z. And if you skip Z, you need to start back over again. Now, when God created the law, he created more than 10 laws. It's actually 613 laws. And so these 613 laws, they were for the people to live right. And so if you transgress one law, you messed up. You all the laws, you messed up all the laws because it was a one for all. So if you live by thou shalt not commit adultery, but then you kill somebody, then you've just transgressed the whole law. You just messed up the whole law. So when Jesus came, God knew that we couldn't really, the penalty of the law, we really couldn't really hold that weight. So that's why Jesus came to redeem us from that so we wouldn't have to carry that weight by ourselves. See, but modern day Pharisees, they will make you carry the weight of the law and they won't help you out. They'll say, well, you got to do this, you got to do this, don't do that, don't do this. See, we hear a lot of don't do's. We hear a lot of don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't. You hear so many don'ts, they'd be like, what can I do? Can I breathe? No, don't breathe like this. Can I blink my eyes? Don't blink your eyes 300 times a day. What can I do? God knows that. He doesn't want us to live by don'ts. He wants us to live by do. So the scripture says, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your spirit, all your strength, everything you have. Love God. The second commandment is like this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. It wasn't a don't hate yourself, don't hate your neighbor. He just said, this is what I want you to do. And when you do that, then you have fulfilled, you have done great. When I love my neighbor as I love myself, I've done great. So religious obligations will oppress you. Religious obligations will oppress you. That is why when Jesus came, and I said this earlier, when Jesus came, he came to fulfill the law and the prophets and to make our loads lighter. Jesus came to make our loads lighter. If you don't believe me, let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And this is what it says. It says this, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me, I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. See, when you are burdened down by a religious mindset, you limit yourself from living the free life. See, Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have life more abundantly. That's free life. So he came that we may have life. Excuse me. So when you are burdened down by religious obligations, you really limit yourself from the abundant life. See, when you are a modern day Pharisee, you are not effective. Why aren't you effective? Because you are not living the life that God has called us to live. See, the modern day Pharisees, they want you to live by these laws. They want you to live by these rules. And if you mess up these rules, then you really see the law. Religion binds you, bounds, it keeps you bound. But the beautiful thing about God is God existed before religion even existed. So God existed before we came up with this thing called religion. God was always about relationship from the beginning. He was always about relationship. So he was always about that relationship between himself and man. He was always about that relationship. So it's even true right now. God is about relationship. God is more concerned about your heart than he is you following some church rules. If Jesus was here, he would be like, why are y'all following all these church rules? Why are y'all following this man-made law? Why are y'all following this man-made decision? And so it's important that we live the free life. Say this with me. It's important that I live the free life. So ultimately, modern-day Pharisees know, but they don't show. They know, but they don't show. What do you mean by that, Pastor Jay? What do you mean by that? Turn to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And we in Matthew a lot today. So Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Everyone there? If not, you can look at the screen. And this is what it says. It says, great sorrow awaits you, religious scholars and Pharisees, frauds and pretenders. For you are obsessed with peripheral issues like insisting on paying meticulous tithes on the smallest herbs that grow in your gardens. These matters are fine, yet you ignore the most important duty of all, to walk in the love of God, to display mercy to others, and to live with integrity. Readjust your values and place first things first. See, a lot of us, we need to readjust our values. Because we heavy on paying tithes and we heavy on doing the meticulous things of the Word of God. But are we really walking in the love of God? Are we showing mercy to one another? Are we being kind to one another? Because it's important that we show mercy to one another, because God has shown mercy to us. It's important for us to walk in the love of God so that we can draw more people to God. Because we are made to be reconcilers. So it's important that we walk in the love of God. Because when we walk in the love of God, then we have power. See, the reason why a lot of us are not effective is because we're not walking in the love of God. Because when you walk in the love of God, then you are effective. You have power. Because love draws. Love draws. So you can tell if people are repelled from you or people are drawn to you. How can you tell? By if you love. Because if you don't truly love, people will be repelled from you. But when you truly love, people will be drawn to you. It's something about them that's different. What is it that's different about them? What is just something about their attitude? It's just something about their spirit. So you never know who's watching you. And somebody's always watching you. So you never know. And so that means that you always have to flow and walk in the love of God. Because that is... See, when we readjust our values and walk in the love of God, then we are able to see how God sees. We're able to love how God loves. We're able to touch people how God desires for us to touch people. When we truly walk in the love of God. So it's important for us to walk in the love of God. So modern day, can we turn me back up a little bit? Modern day Pharisees are this. Modern day Pharisees are this. Number two, thank you. Modern day Pharisees are looking for recognition, but rarely, if ever, provide provision. Modern day Pharisees are always looking for recognition, but rarely, if ever, provide provision. What is provision? What am I saying by provision? Let me give you some context with this. Serve. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. So go up a little bit, and we're going to read verses 5 through 7. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5 through 7. And this is what it says. It says, everything they do is for show and to be noticed by others. They want to be seen as holy, so they wear oversized prayer boxes on their arms and foreheads with scriptures inside and wear extra long tassels on their outer garments. They crave the seats of highest honor at banquets and in their meeting places, and how they love to be admired by men with their titles of respect, aspiring to be recognized in public and have others call them reverend. So they're more focused on show than actually growing. They're more focused on how I look. How do I look today? Do I look holy? Do I have this big old cross on my chest and my collar? And don't get me wrong, it's good in this place. It's good in this place. But if we are in it just for that, we are in the wrong field. Because it's deeper than just the attire. It's deeper than just the seat. It's deeper than the title. That's why I don't really go around to people and let them know, hey, I am Pastor Lester Bell Jr., pastor of New Beginning Christian Center, and you shall respect me and you shall honor me wherever I go. I don't do that because, I said honor. Yes, I said it. I said honor, H-O-N-T-O-R. I said that. Yeah, I'm gonna talk to Tyler Perry too. We got some movies to write. We got some movies to produce from this house. So I gotta put the T in enter. Right? Hallelujah with the R, right? The R R E H, right? Hallelujah. But I don't like to go around looking as if I'm looking for your recognition, or I'm looking for your honor, or I'm looking for your respect, because it's deeper than that for me. It's deeper than just a title. That's why when people call me Reverend, I'm like, you don't gotta call me that. People call me Pastor J. Hey, look, I'm thankful that you all call me Pastor J, but you can call me Lester Bell Jr. I'm not gonna be like, you better call me Pastor J or else. I'm not gonna do that. That's not what it's about. It's not about recognition. See, modern day Pharisees, it's about recognition for them, because what they do, they tie their security in that recognition. And so since they tie their security in that recognition, if you don't give them that recognition, then they had just become insecure, because you have not honored them and respected them to the level that they think you should honor and respect them. So they really missed the mark. And so a modern day Pharisee, they look for recognition, but rarely, if ever, provide provision. See, you can easily spot a modern-day Pharisee out by what they are more concerned about. If they are concerned about you honoring them and respecting them because they know so much, that is usually a sign. Yeah, I said that. If they are concerned about you honoring them and respecting them because they know so much, that's usually a sign that their motive is wrong right there. Now listen to me, I have no problem with honor and respect. Scripture says to give honor where honor is due. I have no problem with that. But when you make me honor you and respect you because you know so much, then you have missed the mark, because there's so much you don't know. Right. Only God is all knowing. And so since God is all-knowing, then I have to understand that I can't put my faith in you. I have to put my faith in God. So that's why this is not a one-man show at NBCC, because I don't want you all to put your faith in me. I want you to put your faith in God, because God has the last word in this. God has the last say-so in this. And so that means that I understand honor, respect. I get it. But if my motive is just honor, respect, because I know this is, or because I'm the pastor of the house, or because thank you, Holy Spirit, for not saying that, because I'm the pastor of the house, then my motives are wrong. So your motives have to be right, because our focus as representatives for God should not be for recognition from others, but to serve one another with love. So when my focus is more on honor and respect and recognition, but I can't serve you, I can't help you, then I have just become not great. Because the scripture says the greatest among ye will serve, and it will serve with a pure heart. And so when I stop loving the people and stop serving the people, I need to sit down. See, we have a lot of leaders that want the recognition, they want the glamour, it looks good, it feels great to have the preferred parking space and the preferred seat and the preferred robe and the preferred office, but I'm not loving the people, and so I miss the mark. I'm not really serving the people, because we are here to serve. The greatest among you shall be your servant. So we are here to serve. I'm here to serve you all. I'm here to serve. And I'm not here for recognition or for honor or for respect. I'm here to serve you, because I understand that when I serve with love, then it's really about what God is doing in your life. Amen. It's not about what can you do for me, what have you done for me lately. It's what can I do for you? How can I add value to you? And so when I add value to you, then I understand that you become more valuable. When you get better, I get better. Amen. When we get better, we have to see a lot of times in church, we have this competitor mindset, and we believe that if somebody else is smarter than me or somebody else get better than me, then that has made me weak, or that has made me an inferior person. But when you get better, I get better. We all get better because we are family, right? Amen. So when one gets better, the whole gets better. So my question to you is, how are you getting better? How are you getting better? Are you really diving into the Word to find out what the Word means? Are you really expanding your mind to really be expanded more to the things of God so that you can make the house better? Because we have to move from consumerism in the church. We have to say, how can I get better? Because when I said, when you get better, we all get better. We all get better. So usually, listen to this, usually a person looking for recognition is looking for security in their role, because recognition is fine, but if that's our focus, we need to readjust our values. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. So really got the cheat sheet today. Everybody got the cheat sheet today. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. And this is what it says. It says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, called them to his side and said, now the disciples had just got mad because one of the mothers asked if their sons could sit on the left and right of Jesus. So the disciples was like mad. They got upset. So this is to give you some context about this. So Jesus said this, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, called them to his side and said, kings and those with great authority in the world rule oppressively over their subjects like tyrants. But this is not your calling. You will lead by a completely different model. The greatest one among you will live as the one who was called to serve others. Because the greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone and to give his life in exchange for the salvation of many. So if my desire is to be recognized rather than serve others, my heart needs to be reexamined. Amen. Because if I'm looking for you to just serve me because I'm the pastor, the lead pastor of the house, my values need to be re-examined. My heart needs to be opened up and re-examined, because my focus has just become the wrong focus. So if you serve, listen to this, if you serve with a pure heart, you are considered great. Amen. If you serve with a pure heart, you are considered great. If you look for recognition, guess what? you are not considered great. Because the greatest among you will be one that serves others with a pure heart. And so in church, we have to look to how can we serve others? What can we do to serve others? Not just in these four walls. Not just in the four walls of your house. But in the highways and the byways. Ultimately, in the marketplace. How can I serve others? See, servant leadership is... Because I believe that you all are leaders. I believe that everyone under the sound of my voice are leaders. Whether you want to accept that as true in your life, that's on you. But I see that you all are leaders. So servant leaders are looking to build relationship. They're looking to serve others. They're looking to meet others' needs. And they're not even looking for payback. Amen. They're not even looking for payback. I'm getting to the place now where I just want to just take people to lunch, just serve them, build relationship with them. Just build relationship. Because relationship at the end of the day is more important than religion. Because your relationship with God determines how your life will flow. See, a lot of times we are out of alignment in our relationship, and then our life is out of alignment, and then we're wondering why our life is out of alignment. It's because our relationship with God is out of alignment. So when we're out of alignment, then we're out of the will of God for our life. And so the will of God for your life is for you to prove what that is perfect, good, and acceptable. That's the will of God for your life. So if the person, listen to this, most times, and I'm going to say this, most times people who demand honor and respect are the ones who are insecure of who they are. Most times, people who demand honor and respect are the ones who are insecure of who they are. So when you are insecure of who you are, and you don't know that you are creating an image and a likeness of God, and you're looking for honor and respect from man, then you really miss what God says about you. See, I don't have to go out looking for honor and respect from men. That used to be me. I used to go out looking for honor and respect. I used to go out looking for recognition. But God had to call me on the rug on that and say, look, it's not about what they think about you. It's what I think about you. It's what I say about you. It's not what they say about you. It's about what I say about you. And so when I live by what God says about me, then what man says about me can't hurt me. I take criticism, keep going. I take praise, keep going. Neither one is going to stop me. Neither one is going to pull me back because I'm more focused on what God says about me. So since I'm focused on what God says about me, then yes, honor and recognition and respect will come. Yes, I get it. I'll be appreciative of it. But that's not my focus. My focus is on what God says about me. And when my focus is on what God says about me, and knowing that God will never leave me nor forsake me, and knowing that God will never change his mind about me, then I really have power to really move about in life the way I'm supposed to move about in life. But if I'm just looking for honor and respect, and I don't get that honor and respect, then my whole life is just, I'm just depressed, and I'm just upset, and I'm just mad at the world because the world owes me. A lot of us have the world owes me mentality. The world owes me this, the world owes me that, the world owes me that over there, the world owes me my 40 acres and a mule, the world owes me this, the world owes me $2 million. We got to move past the world owes me. Move past the world owes me because the world owes you nothing. It owes you nothing. So move past that mindset of the world owes me. And when you move past that mindset of the world owes me, then you won't look for what you think the world owes you. Because you'll only look for what God has already given you. And the scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the scripture says that he came that we may have life and life more abundantly. The scripture says that he has given us an expected end. And so the promise in the scripture also says this, that if we delight ourselves in God, he'll give us the desires of our heart. Hallelujah. He'll give us the desires of our heart. So if I have a desire for something in my heart and it's in alignment with the will of God, see, God will either do that which you desire or something better. That has to be your prayer. God, do this or something better. Do this or something better. And so when that's my prayer of do this or something better, then I set myself up to expect what God has for me. And what God has for me is greater than what I think the world has for me. Because the joy that God gives me, the world didn't give it, like the song say, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Right? That's what the song says, right? So the joy that God gives, the world can't give it to you. And the world can't take it away, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I'm infused with strength when I have the joy of the Lord. So most times, listen to this, most times our greatest struggles come when we just focus on ourselves. Most times our greatest struggles come when we just focus on ourselves. So when it's just about me, 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 guess what happens? Me, 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 me struggles. That's what happens. When I'm just focused on me and not others, then that's when my problems come. But the scripture says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that means that how I love myself, I must show you. So you can tell a lot of times how people love themselves, because that's how they'll love you. You can tell a lot of times the people will be nice to you by if they're nice to themselves. You can tell a lot of times people be kind to you if they're kind to themselves. Because scripture says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that means that however I love myself is how I'm going to love you. So if I'm mean to myself, I'm going to be mean to you. If I'm ugly to myself, I'm going to be ugly to you. If I say negative stuff to myself, I'm going to say negative stuff to you. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So thank you, Holy Spirit. When you can always tell the fruit by the tree. So if my tree has rotten fruit, then guess what's gonna happen? Another person gonna pick that rotten fruit, and they gonna be poisoned by that rotten fruit that my tree has produced. So that means that my tree has to change. It has to change. So if you focus on truly serving others with a pure heart, what seems like a major problem to us will have to move out of your mind. If you focus on truly serving others with a pure heart, what seems like a major problem to you will have to move out of your mind. Because when you change your focus from, you have to change your focus from recognition to serving. So when I change my focus from recognition to serving, I'm really moving in the will of God. Because it says that I should serve one. The scripture says that we should serve one another. The scripture says we don't owe anything to others but love. So love is serving. Love is saying, I want this not because it's good for me, but I want this because it's good for you. And so that's what serving says. So Wednesday night, this is what we're going to go over. Modern day Pharisees are this. You have it? You got it? Modern day Pharisees are this, those who have the look, but on the inside they are crook. Yeah. Modern day Pharisees are those who have the look, but on the inside they are a crook. So join us Wednesday night. We're going to talk about those who have the look, but they are crook. Amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Yeah, you gotta laugh. We gotta laugh in church. We can't be in here being sad and depressed. And we gotta laugh in church. We gotta laugh in church. I'm making it a practice in my life to laugh every day. If you would stand to your feet, I'm making it a practice in my life to laugh every day. Amen. Every day I can, I'm trying to laugh. Because when you laugh, it takes your mind off problems. It's a medicine. Laughter does the heart good like a medicine. And so it heals your heart. It heals your heart. So I'm trying to laugh every day. I'm trying to laugh every day. And I'm also working on my stand-up comedian stuff too here. So a lot of stuff I be like throwing out there. Sometimes some people catch it, sometimes people don't catch it. They throw it back and hit me in the head with it. So I'm trying to work on